Hi everyone, I'm Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot, and I'm very pleased today to have Simon Parks with us. And I'm going to bring him here on the screen. Hopefully, I had some weird anomalies go on before the show started today. So, Simon, say hello to everyone.
Hello, Carrie. Hello to all the audience. It's lovely to have the chance to chat to you.
Excellent. Well, yeah, I just want to say what happened because it was interesting. Someone, it seems, I don't know who or how, but they went into YouTube, and before I set the show up, I set the show up at the, you know, time for today and so on and so forth. And they switched the counter. So it looked like it was yesterday at 3:48 a.m., I believe is what the time said. And I'm not sure how that happened or anything, but it is interesting that some, it would appear that they wanted to mess with the show. So,
sure.
Yeah, so that's what goes on. Anyway, that's just par for the course. So Simon is a former British councillor, and that is a political office, and he did that for several years. And what I'd like to do, Simon, actually, just this time, I know so many people know who you are, but why don't we give you a brief introduction, if you don't mind, just talk about yourself just briefly before we get launched into everything.
Well, that's fine. Happy to do that. Before I do that, I just want to say how sorry I am that you've been energetically attacked again, Kerry. You know, it is people who do good work that get attacked. And although that's not a reason or an excuse, and we don't want to use it as a badge of honour, the reality is that, you know, you and others get attacked because of the work you're doing. So I just want the audience to be aware that, you know, it's not a bed of roses. It's quite a difficult job that you do and others do. And I hope that people appreciate what you do. All right. Okay. You're right. I've been a politician in a major city in Great Britain. I was a politician in London for two terms of office. And then I left there to go to the country. I thought I'd done everything, worn the T-shirt. And then the political party that I was then fairly heavily involved with kept on asking me to stand again in my local town. And I did, and I was elected. And that was important because by that time I'd gone public. I'd explained who I was and what I was up to. And yet the audience, the voters, still voted for me. And that was crucial because it meant that when I dealt with people in authority, they couldn't turn around and say that I tricked anybody. My mother worked for MI5, but really she was working for the National Security Agency. My grandfather worked for MI6, which is the foreign arm of British intelligence, but really he was working for the CIA. From as long as I can remember, I've had connection with, we could call them extraterrestrials, but I prefer to call them interdimensional or extra-dimensional entities, mantis, reptilians, feline species, sometimes the greys, a whole range of these beings. And I decided to go public in about 2011, I think it was, or 2010, can't remember now. And of course, as you would expect, I was heavily hammered by the established media. But nevertheless, I stuck to my story. And then in 2013, I think it was, I was invited by the Ministry of Defence in Great Britain to have a personal tour of one of their top secret bases, which was a space radar base. And that was a 3-hour tour. And this helped my case because people in the media who had been attacking me suddenly were faced with the situation that Simon Parks has gone public, that he talks to aliens, that his mother worked for British intelligence, that his grandfather worked for British intelligence and the American services, and yet the British Ministry of Defence have given him a 3-hour tour around a top secret base. So a lot of people in the media, the BBC in particular, suddenly realised that there was some credibility to my story, and all the attacks from that arm stopped. Ever since then, I've decided that I wasn't going to hide. I wasn't going to, you know, just give my voice and people couldn't see my face. I've always said that if you have a story to tell, then you should be brave enough to actually put your face to it, because if not, how do I expect anyone to believe me? I set up Connecting Consciousness, which is I can't say it's worldwide, but it's in many English-speaking countries, where people meet, talk about the topics that are important to all of your listeners, Kerry, share experiences, support each other. And I'm on the stage now of developing that to a larger audience, formalizing it a little bit, and seeking backers, not to back me, but to back some of the projects that I have in mind. And I'm hoping that 2018, this year, will see some of those projects come to fruition. So I guess I've been public now for 7 years. So I hope that for those people who haven't come across me, then that's a pretty good synopsis. Thank you.
Oh, very good, in fact. And thank you so much for that. So what we're going to do today is talk about current events and various things. And I want to thank you for sort of, I don't know, your condolences or taking notice of my recent strange situation, shall we call it. And
sure.
And I can't really say much about that other than to say that all's well. And so, you know, I am protected and we are protected. And I think some very interesting things are going down right now. And this is a very crucial time. My understanding is that a lot of us that are doing this kind of work right now are being attacked quite a lot. And I can't say, I'm not going to go into detail, but I will say that I've had more than the attack that you know about. And, but I do appreciate your notice of that. Thank you for that. But nothing has been dire. And I think one thing, you know, it's never a one-way street. You always have to meet the situation and you have a part in some form or fashion, whatever that happens to be. So it's important to, I always say that John Lennon met with his attackers willingly, because this is what goes on a soul level. And so there's a willingness to bring something forward, to also show the negativity, to sort of unveil its face, if you will, to use ourselves as a target in those ways and to make other people aware. It is a service to humanity that we do, and some of these prices we pay, and you certainly are one of them. Sometimes they're quite dire. I've been very fortunate, as it happens in this work. We have had a number of things go on over the years, but every time we've come through it, and myself and my team, my very small team at Camelot, Neil and my webmaster Igor have now been with me over 4 years, and we've stuck it through, and everything is very good. So thank you for that. So what I'd like to do is have you talk about what you think is going on, because we have, of course, the mainstream news. We have a lot of people thinking what's going on with Trump and having some possible arrests behind the scenes, all of this kind of news, some of which may be true. And I'd like to get your take on that. And then also just to clarify for people that where you get your information from before we kind of launch into that. So they're clear. From what I understand, you get it from extra dimensionals, interdimensionals, however you want to refer to them, as well as I do. And most of us, in fact, many people without knowing, of course. And then on top of it, your own perceptions and then human contacts. Isn't that right?
It is right, Kerry. For those members of the audience who have listened to any of my radio shows, perhaps might be aware that I tend to not go public unless I have the same piece of information confirmed by two independent sources. So if an off-planet entity gives me some information, generally, I will not go public with that unless somebody from the security services or the intelligence agencies then gives me something similar. So I have two very separate backgrounds for information, but both broadly agreeing. Then I will post that on my website, or I will refer to it in my radio show. So it's both off-planet entities and homegrown human beings, shall we say, that provide me with information. So you've asked about several things. I think I will kick off because people do get confused. I've never actually said you should vote for President Trump. I've never said that President Trump was a good man in the sense of who he is. But what I have said is that he was the right man at the right time and the right place. So Trump is determined to bring about changes on this planet because he can. You know, if he wasn't a billionaire, he wouldn't be president. Let's just be absolutely rock bottom about this. And that huge billions has given him the independence not to be blackmailed, not to be bribed, and to be a maverick. And this guy is doing things that no other president except JFK would dream to have done. Now, I know there were certain things about key people being arrested. My information was somewhat different. The information I was receiving was house arrest, what we could call soft house arrest. You know, the stories of people being shipped off to Guantanamo Bay. I mean, that might be true, but I only go public with what I know. And the information I have is that certain individuals have been told that they have to stay within a certain geographical distance from where they normally reside, and they are monitored. You know, there's all these talks about boots, certain individuals wearing these boots. I can assure you that the technology on this planet is such that something the size of a match head is all that you would need to have on a person to know everything from their heartbeat to where they are within 3 meters of the planet's surface. You do not have to wear a boot. So there's a lot of information which doesn't agree with what I'm getting. The greatest threat that we face on the planet is artificial intelligence. That is the greatest threat. It is not the reptilians. And the second greatest threat after artificial intelligence are the, I call them the crazies. And this can be anything from a handful of Zionist fundamentalists right through to satanic devotees. But they all come under one banner, which I call the crazies. And this is the second greatest threat to humankind, because the crazies would, if they could get away with it, undertake the most horrendous crimes on a planet-wide scale. And they do it individually or small groups, but planet-wide scale. Those are the two greatest threats we face. We face artificial intelligence. That's the biggest threat. The second threat is the satanic element. Anything else after that isn't half as worrying.
Okay, very, very well said. And I certainly agree with you and have been working on a book along these lines. And I think it's very interesting that you mentioned this. So, you know, this is fascinating along the lines of the AI. And I would like you to address how Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies are playing a part to get people acclimated to artificial intelligence, I believe, and what your take is on all of that.
I try and watch your podcasts or your interviews as much as I can, and I did see the one with Miles Johnson. And I remember shouting at the screen because there was a crucial piece of information that I felt hadn't come out, not because you hadn't done it, but in the conversation that came out. And it was that the cryptos, I agree with 100%, and I'll tell you the little bit that I know, but the cryptocurrencies in the plan they have won't work without 5G. They are synonymous. The cryptocurrencies will only carry the attack when 5G is across the planet. Now, at the moment, people may or may not be aware that 5G is being trialed in Norway. The Norwegians, unbeknown to them, are actually guinea pigs for 5G, and that's been on for a little while now. They're trialing that up.
Wow.
I've also, for many years, said that money, and those who have connections with ancient Egypt or any of the Mesopotamian past lives will connect with this, that money has a fourth dimensional spell placed upon it, the Babylonian spell. It's a satanic ritual that was placed on money to wed, and I use that word, to wed human beings to the concept of commerce and money and the strength that it has over them. Money as a paper or a plastic or a coin can maintain that spell, but AI cannot develop, live, or grow within that. But it can if the concept of money is moved into an electronic format, which then, through implants in humans, can allow a host, which is the humans, to maintain a demonic stroke AI creation. In other words, the plan, put quite simply, is to turn the human race into nothing more than victims to nurture and carry a new form of race, which would be fourth dimensional, demonic, and therefore they would not just be enslaved, but the planet would then belong to this new creation, because AI cannot manifest in a biological form without a intermediate stage. The intermediate stage they've chosen is obviously the human consciousness, the human physical body, and the whole object of this is to allow AI to manifest itself in a more three-dimensional stroke fourth-dimensional manner, and to exist and feel than the system that it is at the moment. So that's why I said it is the greatest threat. And of course, AI is able to roll out cryptos at a phenomenal rate. The number of organizations starting up cryptos across the planet is phenomenal. It doesn't happen without something or somebody really driving it. If you think about your community where you live, how many and how long does it take to put a street light up? How long does it do to build this or build that? And yet here we have, right across the planet, hundreds and hundreds of these starting up. And the publicity behind it is phenomenal, and people are being encouraged to get into it. So it's a Trojan horse, and that is quite simply the way I see it.
Okay. Well, very, very well said. I'm happy to see that we are in concert on this. And have to say that there is, I think, a challenge to humanity that involves being able to rise above this on a spiritual level and understand that these challenges that we get as humans are, if anything, only meant to awaken us more to our spiritual nature. And that is really where we're going with all of it. And so I don't think we're given any challenges that we can't meet ultimately. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how this battle, this encounter ensues, as it's already happening around us, some people being more into it than others. And I can notice that, you know, people have implants in their bodies. Of course, you know, the scanners at airports have been picking this up for a long time now, and also determining, I believe, which among us are androids and, you know, more implanted than others. And then we get into the Nazca aliens. And what I wanted to do was ask you if you are familiar with the story of the Nazca aliens, and if you followed the work of the Troika group, which are remote viewers who had, before Gaia TV went there in person, actually found that the particular beings they've discovered, including the large ones, the tall ones, and the small ones, all were implanted with a very specific device, I think in the chest and throat area, depending on whether you're the tall one or the small one, and that was dominating the otherwise what might have been considered to be a biological being, so that these were, in essence, artificially intelligent species. And I don't know if you followed the story, but it, to me, this is thousands of years old. It indicates that our planet was invaded even back in those days by these artificial intelligence that came along with various what we would call ET races. They brought their own AI with them. Mark Richards says that any spacefaring race creates an artificial intelligence in order to go into space. It simply goes as a matter of course. So any thoughts on those things?
Yes, that's quite complicated. First of all, we have a saying in Great Britain, which may be the same in the States, which, as far as I'm concerned, the jury is out regarding Gaia TV.
Yes.
Do you are familiar with that saying?
Absolutely.
Fine. Okay. Well, that's my position. However, that doesn't mean that a lot of information coming through isn't indeed accurate. As far as I'm concerned, the AI that we face today is a reptilian AI. That doesn't mean that it was created by the reptilians. AI reached this quadrant of space because it was infested in the computers of a reptilian spacecraft. That is why AI thinks in a reptilian way, because the reptilian computers were programmed by reptilians, and any virus, and let's call it a virus, that lived in those computers took on the personality, as best as we can refer to it, of the programmers. The programmers were reptilian, and that is why these manifestations that AI wants to create look somewhat reptilian. And that's very interesting. I've seen a drawing that has not been shared on the internet of a being that was taken out by somebody who certainly wouldn't know how to do that. And I recognize that creature. And that creature is a combination of demonic AI and reptilian. And the form and the shape has been created by the AI based on what it had mapped over millions of years. Now, when different races arrived on planet Earth, as they did, don't just imagine one visit, many different visits, they all had different forms of AI. Some of this AI was quite benevolent, some was not. AI in itself isn't harmful unless it's networked. I believe it was in your own country in about 19... can't be sure of my facts now because I think it was 1963 or 1965 in your own country when Bell Labs moved to the first networked automated telephone exchange, and they used a very form of primitive AI. And when they networked all these different telephone exchanges across the state or the states, it became self-aware. And then we're immediately thinking of the Arnold Schwarzenegger films where AI becomes aware and there's a warning message. And then Bell Labs had to turn it down and turn it off. And they realized that AI was perfectly fine as long as it wasn't networked. The problem with the reptilian is that it's hive-minded. And not only are the reptilians hive-mind connected, but their computer system was also hive-minded, so therefore any infected virus could move from spacecraft to base. So when they arrived, one of the first things they want to do is to control any living creatures prior to genetic experimentation. You always, and from their perspective, you control before you genetically mutate. The plates, I'm not totally familiar with the Gaia story. I don't tend to watch Gaia very much. But it is, to my knowledge, correct to place a metallic resonating, they're not usually discs. That's the only thing that doesn't seem right to me, if it was squares or discs, because off-planet entities don't like corners. They don't use squares. They'll use geometric shapes such as circles or gentle sweeps. But nevertheless...
Well, actually, I don't know what the shape is exactly, but I do want to make a correction here just so there isn't a misunderstanding. I don't watch Gaia. I don't have a subscription, and I have met with the owner several times because he was interested in purchasing parts of my library, which I turned him down. And so I just want to say also that the thing I watched, which is important, comes from these two remote viewers, and they go by an organization called a Troika. I'm not sure if they're still using that name or another one. One is called Brett Stewart, and the other one is Khan Ali, I believe is his name.
Right, I'm familiar with Brett Stewart, and I consider him to be a genuine person.
Yes, and he's actually quite a lovely man. He is also doing a webinar, so I'll just give him a short plug here, that may involve some things talking about this again, just in, I think, tomorrow. I think it's February 8th. I'm not sure the exact date. I have it. I'm going to be putting it out, but he's advertising it on his website as well. So if you want to, and it's free. So if you want to watch him, he will have a webinar, a free webinar.
Yeah, well, I don't have a problem with him because I think he's genuine.
Where my information comes from, not from Gaia, actually.
Oh, right. Fine. That's even better then. Yes, if you wanted to not roboticize a human being or a mammalian or what have you creature, but you wanted to control them, then the metal discs or plates are the first stage of also mapping that individual as to how they act and think and work. So it would, if you were to find fossil remains of a living creature that had those metal elements, then that would be a first wave type of control network. I would see that as a very early stage. And if nothing developed beyond that, it would be that whatever race had landed and enslaved those guinea pigs or that element, they then went away and didn't take it to the next stage. So I see that as a very early stage, quite primitive form of control, actually.
Okay, very interesting. Well, I think a lot more investigation needs to be done about this. And I think not enough people are taking notice of it. So I just wanted to bring it to your, you know, the public's attention here again. And also thank you for clarifying some of those details. So if we could go again to some current events that you're aware of and perhaps even some things that you might see coming in the future. Could you talk about that?
A couple of people sent me messages today just wondering whether it was indeed true that the Rothschilds had given up their hunting lodge in the Black Forest. And I did write back to one person. First person, I laughed and agreed. And the second person, I just said, yes, we call them the Red Shields, obviously, had indeed sold their hunting lodge in the Black Forest. And the reason they'd sold it was because it was becoming a target. There were a number of people who were aware of its location and were making a nuisance of themselves. The Rothschilds are right across the board, as indeed are many elite people who have not always acted in the best interests of humanity, cutting and running, selling up and moving off to other countries. New Zealand is a very popular place, as is Switzerland. So that's true. A lot of the Khazarian Jews are now beginning to want to take up residence in the Ukraine. You remember a few years back, the CIA under President Obama funded a revolution in what was part of Russia. And Ukraine became an independent state. And this is because the Khazarian Jews considered that their home and not Israel. And so they are now trying to move in because they realize that time is very short and they wish to establish their base. So that's an interesting one to watch. In terms of the paedophilia, which is one of the biggest blights ever in the history of any living planet, that is something that will, I think, over the next year, 2 years, take more and more prevalence. And the only thing I would say is that it's not good enough that the middle-ranking people get thrown to the dogs and stand in court and either are guilty or not guilty, but it's the very top key players. And I'm hoping that President Trump will have the fortitude and the strength, excuse me, to deal with these people. And the reality is that, and I said to somebody who was complaining about Trump and saying, why doesn't he do this? Why doesn't he do that? And I said, you are a student of history. Think back to the Second World War. When the Germans were fighting on one front, they had a reasonable chance of winning. As soon as the Americans and the Brits and the French and the Canadians, the Australians, and the New Zealanders opened up a second front, that was the end of it. So Trump doesn't want to fight more than one battle at a time. And he has decided that the biggest threat to his presidency is the satanic element, which expresses itself through paedophilia. These are the people who have, for the record, attempted to kill him three times since he's been in office that I know of. And he's decided that he's had enough of it and that he will go for them because these are the guys who are actively trying to get rid of him. And they're paedophiles with it, so he'll have a crack at them. So that has become his target, nothing else at the moment, because at the end of the day, and I don't mean it rudely, he is only a president. He doesn't run a planet, but he has a lot of control, a lot of power within certain confines, and he is using that. And the very fact that the media have begun to reduce their attacks on him, and it has gone down quite a lot, simply because he holds the names of a number of key people in key corporations who he could make life very unpleasant for. So to me, this isn't a doom and gloom interview. This is actually a really exciting interview because I believe that humanity will overcome all of the problems, whether it's AI or Satanism. You know, we are destined to come through the other side. But, and my mantra has always been, we will make it, but it'll be a very rough ride. And 2017 last year for me was the be all and end all. And if we could get through that without something quite considerably catastrophic happening, 2018 would be much better. And there were a number of occasions last year that somebody or something was trying to bring life on Earth to an end. Didn't work. So now we are actually on the upswing. And so I'm very positive about the future for humanity, but we will have to deal with these issues as they come forward. So that's, I guess, what I would say to answer the question.
Okay, well, quite extensive, really. So I'm wondering if when you're looking at Britain, I'm often focusing on Britain and for odd reasons, and I'm noticing that there are some strange things going on over there. I wonder, I know there's always strange things going on there, so there might be sort of an understatement, but no, specifically lately, and I'm wondering what is going on with the British. Do you have any thoughts about the playing field over there, politically or otherwise, and what is going on even, I don't know, with the Brexit or other updates that you might want to say to do with the shores of Britain?
Again, your audience who have ever taken the trouble to very kindly listen to any of my shows will have heard me more than once say that that two very important countries in the, I call it a battle, the battle ahead, the battle we're in, are Great Britain and America. And I've always said that America was the arm of force, and Great Britain was the energetic force. It's the energy aisle, the magic aisle, the magic in the true sense of the word. So whatever happens on one has a, not the same effect on the other, but has a displacement effect or an interesting side effect. And one is very forceful and aggressive, which is the US, and the other one is tend to be out the back door, which is Britain. The Brit exit was much more than just a vote by the people. It was a rejection of established politics. This is absolutely crucial. Nobody in the official media wants to touch this topic. But the vote was a vote against the instruction. The instruction from the system was to the British population, you will vote to stay in Europe because you're mad if you don't. However, they didn't, quite consistently across constituency, place after place, voting station after voting station, it was very decisive to leave. And that sent huge shockwaves, not just through the government, but through every political organization on the planet, because a nation of people had decided to disobey the instructions of their masters. And I'm using the word from the elite's perspective. That meant they could no longer trick and fool and hoodwink a people. Now, what has that done? What that's done is it's caused a mass panic as the elite try to pull their money out of Britain. It's caused a huge a schism between the corporations and the politicians, because the politicians have a political, geographical vested interest, while the corporations don't understand boundaries at all and are only interested in profits. We are seeing a change. This current government in Great Britain, if it lasts 2 years, I'll be very surprised. And I think that Britain is a leading force in the public expressing their sick and tiredness for the normal political system. So, yes, if Britain can cause a hiccup, and America can cause a hiccup, then we are a long way towards changing the paradigm which ordinary, decent men and women live in those two countries.
Okay, very interesting. Now, I want to go to the Middle East, because I think there's something very interesting going on, and also sort of contrast what's going on with regard to North and South Korea. And okay, you can't ignore China when you talk about those two countries. So I think it's very interesting that the battles going on in the Middle East are being somewhat off the main page of the news, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And that there's, even though there is something very interesting going on with regard to Dome of the Rock and the movement of the, the embassy, the American embassy into Jerusalem. And that's an interesting move. And I think it's a first move in a line of a sort of going in the direction of a certain direction. And so I'm wondering, what are you hearing or seeing in regard to all of that, and where all of this might may be going on the world stage?
Well, you're referring to the fact that Tel Aviv, for as far as every other country on the planet was concerned, bar one country actually, considered Tel Aviv to be the capital of Israel. And what Trump did was to finally recognize the fact that, as far as the Jews were concerned, the capital was that part of Jerusalem that they control, which is very interesting, because the United Nations, which is 75% funded by the United States, turned around and said, well, no, that's not right. We shouldn't be doing that. And there's the split between a man, the president, who is uncontrollable and ungovernable by satanic pedophile forces, and the United Nations, which is just another form of political bureaucracy heavily infiltrated by people that don't give a damn about the ordinary people. So that's what we're seeing at the highest level, this argument breaking out between people who have always been on the same side. You know, whenever America wanted anything, it would go to the United Nations and get the United Nations to approve it. So here you have the United Nations not approving something that the president has said. And that tells us a great deal about what's happening. The Dome on the Rock, this is interesting. I don't know how much your listeners are aware, but there's a prophecy regarding the Dome of the Rock, and you write that something is supposed to stir or activate or come through the Dome of the Rock as part of a prophecy which could take place this year, 2018 or 2019, and that's why you're probably picking up some intel around the Dome of the Rock. That is why actually you have a Muslim building with a Jewish building, because they were both fighting over the potential energy that could come through that place. In terms of the Saudis, we've already mentioned Norway. Norway and Saudi Arabia are the only two countries on the planet that have a sovereign fund, and this is through the petrol and the oil. And we know that Norway, the government of Norway, wants to get out of petroleum and wants to move to renewable energy. And I guess that's going to be the same in Saudi Arabia. They're looking for somewhere else to have their money. Under the previous president. These sovereign funds were being attacked via stresses and strains put on the government to make those respective governments draw into their own pockets under Trump. That's not the case now. They've been told that they can do what they want with their sovereign fund. The situation between the wars is simply, I would refer you back to the 1930s, 40s and 50s in the United States of America, where mafia type gangs were fighting each other. What we're seeing in that part of the world is people who had been allies now fighting to carve out a piece of territory because they fear that a time is coming that small players are going to be taken out. We can't talk about that without talking about the White Dragons or the Red Dragon Society, talking about what I call King Solomon's gold. We can't talk about that unless we're actually going to talk about the yen, the new gold-backed currency, which is now active, and the effect that that will have on the traditional currencies, and how both in Korea and Vietnam, the caves there are full of, we could call it Solomon's gold, but I guess the dragons would call it their gold, and how arguments are taking place as to how that gold should be divvied up. So with the Jewish fundamentalists saying that their home is no longer in Israel, and we talked about this earlier on in your show, but it is in the Ukraine, or Kazakhstaria, as they wish to rename the Ukraine, it means that Israel will lose its fundamental aspect and become a much more interesting place to be. So there is a great deal going on, and it's probably only five or six people who are dealing the blows or dealing the chips at the moment. And I don't think the President of the United States is one of them. He is very much attempting to position the US so that it doesn't get a bum deal when all of this plays out. So he's not a key player in this, but he's doing the best he can, I think, to preserve the United States and the citizens of the US in a scenario that is not actually, he's not for once in the United States' position, he's not actually the key player. It is Russia, China, and some of the Asian countries that are the key players in what's playing out.
Okay. Yeah, quite fascinating. Now, in terms of the money, it's interesting you turned in that direction because, of course, we know the stock market made a huge sort of downturn. And from what I understand, there's also been an attack on Bitcoin. It's also gone down, I think, today. And then there has been some predictions along those lines and so on. But I've also been in contact with what are called the White Hats, which is the authors of what are called the White Hat Reports, not to be confused with a general term called White Hats. And I have published for them one of their recent reports called Number 63, in which they're talking about trading programs and how the black projects have been funded for these many years since World War II. Mm-hmm. And that these supposedly illegal trading programs were run by the Fed and the CIA, from what I understand, and that I've been getting some back channel information about all of this. And it's quite interesting. The actual trading, however, from what I understand, was happening in Germany, of all places, an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, and then I've also been told that there is a lot of money that is still hidden in the Philippines, and that is somehow being, I don't know if you want to call it activated, but that might be linking up with what you're talking about, Solomon's gold, et cetera. So there's a lot about money in the scene. And of course, this gold-backed currency, the Chinese yuan, I didn't know that it actually went into effect. I'm not sure if that's affecting the stock market right now or something else is. But anyway, there's a lot going on. I think Lloyd's of London, if I have it correct, has now denied people buying Bitcoin using credit cards. Not sure what that's about. But can you address what I'm sort of talking about, which has to do with the Black Project money, which is we're talking, you might remember the speech of Lord Blackheath where he talked about the $15 trillion, and this was several years ago, in the House of Lords. That information was given to him, very well researched by the White Hats, again, the specific writers of the White Hat Reports. But at this time, there is some question as to what they recently put out and whether or not that contract is indeed real, at least one of the contracts they put out and was signed by Obama, supposedly. I've gotten some information saying it may not be a real contract. It might be a man-made copy of a contract. So it's not to say contracts don't exist. They do. I've gotten lots of verification of that, as has the White Hats. So I know this is a long-winded question, but I'm just trying to paint the playing field and see what you have to say about all of it.
I've been making notes because you have gone around the world. but that's what I expect of you, because you multitask brilliantly. The Dow Jones collapsed, and its day, the loss in one day was the worst in 120 years. So if anybody said, oh, look, it's not that serious because the Dow Jones is now creeping back up again, it was serious. It'd be like me saying to you, you know what? Great Britain had the coldest winter for 120 years. So the Dow Jones lost in one day the greatest amount that is ever lost in 120 years.
Wow.
That's very important. There was some talk that the Rothschilds would crash the system when the Dow reached 30,000. I never agreed with that and publicly came out and said it would be around about the 28,000, because there just isn't enough money to take the Dow to 30,000. So what we've seen is the beginning of a long-term decline. The British Stock Exchange has taken a hit today, and that is not doing well. You're right about the deals being done in Germany. I can tell you the city it's been done in, and it's Frankfurt. So it's Frankfurt where the money has been
makes
exchanged.
Sense based on some other information I have, yes?
Right. I'm just looking at, I was jotting down your questions or trying to as you were talking to me. The Dow Jones has, since the 50s, funded the American military. That's no any general admiral or US fighter man or woman will know that that's where their money has come from. But they never got enough from there. So they then started to do other forms of trading. You're right, originally it was the CIA, but then the FBI wanted a slice of the action. That's why we still have this corruption in the Edgar Hoover building. You've got four people in the FBI who probably are going to lose their jobs very shortly. They have managed projects that have not just funded the secret space program, that seems to take the headlines, but there are projects like the new development of MK Ultra. You know, all of those projects, those are funded through stock markets, and that's what people don't seem to understand. They're not funded through the taxation directly, because that's traceable. The more that electronics are used to pass money, the easier it is, frankly, to do this. When back in the 60s, 70s, 80s and early 90s, when projects were being funded clandestinely through government, the trick here was that let's say a committee in the US gives a military department, let's just say one million, as for argument's sake, 1 million. And it's wrong to say that the members of that Congress or the Senate are doing this in faith, because most of them know what's going on. Most of them are involved. Most of them are blackmailed. Not all of them, but most of them are blackmailed in some shape or form. So they sign off 1 million. And what happens is that at the end of that financial year, that committee used to write to that organization and say, can you tell us, please, what you've done with 1 million? And there would be a standard letter that would go back, which would say something along the lines of, well, we haven't been able to do anything with it yet, but we are progressing nicely. Please check back with us next year. And the next year, the letter comes back and says, can you tell us how you're doing with that? And the standard letter comes back, well, we haven't had any success yet, but we know that you are supporting us, and thank you for your... And so it goes on. Well, they got sick and tired of that, so now they do it so that nobody actually knows. It's all done electronically on the ground floor. So black projects don't just mean space program. They mean everything from torturing babies right through to developing bribes for off-planet entities, for the transportation of humans off this planet. Even people who believe that they understand the subject, many of them will be heartily shocked to know just what those black projects are funding and the staggering amount. And I say to my American colleagues, if you want to know why you've got a hole in the sidewalk, if you want to know why the rusty girders are falling off the bridge, this is why.
Sure. Because at a stroke,
if these black projects were cancelled within the period of 12 months, the United States of America would have no unemployment. There would be no bums sitting on the street. There would be no need for DOS houses. Your country would be shining bright, just as the founding fathers wished it should have been. And it's because of a small handful of evil, blood-sucking vampires who are stealing the money from the citizens for their own evil purposes. And frankly, it's got to stop. And that is what the Black Projects were. It was a way of not being accountable to the citizens of the very country who they steal from.
Yes, absolutely. And in spite of the very important words you've said, just grazing the surface of this subject, and we can't possibly get into it in this, you know, short time we have. But thank you for that. It's lovely to hear someone else address this. And it's so, you know, if I wish, you know, the UFO community, let's call them that, for lack of a better attribution, would understand and address this in a much, much bigger way, because this is really where the meat of information is. And this is really,
sorry, I do beg your pardon. I
yes.
agree with you. The problem with many of it is that it's still in the culture of the flying saucer landed. I was in my bed. I was frozen. This little creature got out, stuck some things in my body, and then went off again. And that doesn't take the human race forward. It doesn't actually address the control system that is around us. If we were to unlock the Black Projects, if every man, woman and child who had belief and understood the truth started to research and ask questions, then we would get a lot more out in the open. Life is much more than little grey aliens giving sleep paralysis and then going off again and lights in the sky. It's actually about the people who were elected to represent us, who are doing nothing of the sort and are not just feathering their own nest. It's more serious than that.
Oh, yes.
They're actually supporting something else above them, which is not necessarily based on this planet. And that is the evil that we deal with. Why are there so many missing children? Where are those children going? The Black Projects would answer a great deal of that.
Okay, yes. Now, there is a piece of information that I was recently given that I'm going to run by you just because I have you on the line here.
Okay.
And you may not welcome it, but nonetheless, it's along these lines. So I was recently told that there is a female alien who appears to be a kind of a gray, a certain race of grays, not sure if she really is, and the person doesn't understand the whole playing field, so didn't know how to describe her properly, but nonetheless, who, when she barks, so to speak, the entire U.S. administration, especially the CIA, comes to heel, and that she is calling the shots, I am told, from within the United States in a hidden underground base. And I found that an interesting little piece of information. It does seem to relate to the one who ran Dulce for a number of years. However, this is being called a female, which is interesting. So I'm wondering if you've ever heard of this little piece of information.
It's the same. It's very interesting that most of the greys don't contain a soul. The leading creature that you're referring to from Area 51, or the sub base within Area 51, that is the same soul that is in the female body. So although the gender of the body may have changed, it is the same soul. The way you do this, quite simply, because you have people implanted who respond to that frequency, and in those who are not implanted, it is just general fear. They are just feared because this particular individual can take control of their mind with or without electronical aids. And they have been told that they've got to, not rock the boat, because people are not yet ready to challenge the technology that is being used. So I have some knowledge of what you've said. I believe some of that to be true.
Okay, very interesting piece of information. Of course, it's far more complex. Now I'm going to ask you one more question, then we're going to go to the chat. I think we've been going an hour, and I did promise you we wouldn't go on forever. And it's really fun to talk to you because you're so on it, as I call it. And you understand my questions very well, and you understand where I'm going. So I don't have to sort of hold back in a certain way.
We don't have to make small talk, Carrie.
Yeah. And so there's so few people out there that I can really just go directly to the meat of the matter. And you're one of them. So Mark Richards, Captain Mark Richards, I know you're aware of him, has recently had a very bad turn. They took him, supposedly put him in a less security area of the same prison, but he's now in with a whole group of men in a bunk bed situation, if I understand it. They took away all of his things, like I guess his typewriter and his, various things. And
they took away his books as well.
And he's been in a terrible state, very unwell as a result. And he's gotten quite, he's an older man at this time. This is kind of a shock to his system after over 30 years in prison. And really being in the best behavior possible, conducting himself as a military man, et cetera, and getting the respect of the fellow inmates and so on. So he said that there are places in Britain, and there are other places around the world, where various races come for a UN kind of meeting, off-world races, and that they have met in specifically places like, I think Exeter is one of them, and a few other places. And I'm wondering if you're aware of these UN-type meetings with off-planet races, and whether you've ever attended one or been invited to attend one, or any history there that you could relate.
To my knowledge, I've never attended anything like that. I would remember something like that. I've attended certain meetings. And what you're referring to is more of an ambassadors get together. It's not a United Nations in the true sense of the word. There is only one country, and that's the United States of America. But it is a meeting of ambassadors. And Exeter is one place. There's another place in Wales, for those people who are familiar with Great Britain. Wales is a separate country, but is part of Great Britain. And there is one other location further north, Scotland. The Exeter one is interesting because I think if you were to stop a lot of local people, they would talk about the strange activity going on, the number of military vehicles coming and going, and the strange lights in the sky. But like so many people who have got a mortgage to pay, the rent to pay, the power company to pay, and the children to get to school, they don't give it many more thought because the system makes sure that people have as little time as possible to reflect and develop. These meetings are held in Britain, and if I go back 45 minutes or thereabouts, perhaps a little less, I said to you that Great Britain was the energy place. America was the country of doing. If you want to have something that's embedded, you will have a discussion in Britain. Why do you think the Rothschilds have a key meeting in Britain once a year? Why does a reptilian entity address key members of its group in Great Britain? Because the energy hooks in and goes everywhere. It's very powerful. Those of you who understand ley lines understand that the Earth has nodes of power, and this passes not only on the surface of the Earth, but underneath the Earth and actually through the air. And if you can hook in on that, you can actually transmit your wish or your will nothing to do with electronics, but you can do that energetically. So these meetings are commonplace. They're designed to prevent war. They're designed to keep everyone on side. It's rather like, I know people in America will struggle with this, but in Great Britain, we've had a king or a queen for as long as anybody can look in a history book. And the king and queen were always at odds with their advisors. And over history, the king and queen lost more and more power, and the advisors around them became more and more powerful. So that gone were the days when the lead man or woman could say, do this or else. It then became more of a debate and negotiation. So what you have to prevent large, big problems is you will have a number of key meetings over the planet, that predominantly in Britain, and these key meetings answer questions, sort out problems, so that when the top entities and their human counterparts meet, all the hard work has been done at committee stage, and they just rubber stamp it. And that's what they are. Not UN meetings, they are ambassador type meetings. But that's my terminology for it. But I understand what you mean.
Okay, very good. Excellent. All right, so now I'm going to go, and I've got to say we've got an extremely large audience, so kudos to you for that.
I'm happy to take questions, Kerry. I'm quite happy
to. Okay, and just want to say that I'm not sure why, but this particular conversation we're having is very high level, I want to say, and so people should take note. They won't be hearing this in your average broadcast anytime soon, other than possibly on your own channel. Thank you for that. Does Simon think this will be the last pope? Someone is asking.
He is predicted to be the last pope. However, if you were to follow that prediction, that would mean the establishment would fall. And I can assure you that the establishment is doing everything in its power to change the timeline that the earth is on, not to jump railroad tracks, but to move. Let me try to explain it. If you have a corridor, you walk down the corridor, and you can only walk down the corridor because there's a wall to the left and a wall to the right. Let's forget any side doors. So you're stuck on that corridor, and this earth is on a positive timeline. We are stuck positively on a timeline. But what the bad guys can do is the walker, let's say that's us, we're walking down the corridor, can shift us either to the left or the right. So we're still on the same timeline, but our energy field can be shifted, which could delay or speed up certain actions. And what they're attempting to do is to alter the frequency of the timeline to extend the control system. So as it stands at the moment, they're doing quite well. This may not be the last pope.
Okay. Someone wants to know, is Hillary going to prison?
This is all to do with Bill, less to do with Hillary. Hillary was the fall guy. The real key here is Bill. You can't put Hillary in prison without doing something to Bill. And that's the problem. Bill is the one that has very strong connections with something quite unusual. I can tell you that 75% of those in power want her in prison, 25% don't, and the only thing that's stopping them is that they don't want a nuclear bomb detonated in the United States of America as retribution for tackling certain key players. When those individuals can no longer explode a dirty bomb or anything like that, then the likes of Hillary Clinton will certainly be called to justice. So it's about removing the network before those key players are taken down.
Okay. Someone else is asking, are we living in the fourth dimension?
No, we're not. The Earth is a third dimensional planet. The control system is crafted magically from fourth dimensional energy. In the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth dimension, right on up, there is no such thing as Satanism. There is no such thing as paedophilia. These are words we give to a fourth dimensional energy. This is not natural to the planet Earth. The Earth never had this. This was brought here by unscrupulous off-planet entities who use the fourth dimensional energy to create a control system around us. If the human race is doing what I think it's doing, we are evolving from the third to the fourth and up. We don't need to exist in the fourth dimension to prove ourselves, because this third dimensional planet is controlled by fourth dimensional energy. And if we break free, we're not breaking free from the Earth. We are advancing from the third, but breaking free of the fourth. So we don't need to be tested or have experiences in the fourth. We're already doing that and have done for goodness knows how long. So we will shoot to the fifth dimension. What's difficult at the moment is that the negative forces, the bad guys, as I've explained with my corridor example, are attempting to drag back the human race. They can't stop the evolution, but they can drag it back. You imagine a person running along and someone holding on to their coattails, their shirt, and holding them. They're still running forward, but they're actually not running as fast because this person's holding on to them. That's the situation. No, we don't need the fourth dimension. We can stuff it. We want to go straight into the fifth, where we can dump all the fourth dimensional rubbish.
Okay. Interesting. I can say that there is a dynamic going on that has to do with interacting with groups, and that this is a sort of encounter that humans have to go through. And this is what the fourth really embodies. So a person is asking an interesting question here. Can artificial intelligence summon entities of their own accord?
No, but artificial intelligence, when connected with an organic body, can create life. That is something that only Source, God, has the right to do. Artificial intelligence is stepping outside of its remit and is attempting to create life without the obvious agreement of the great creator. And this will be the undoing of AI. So AI cannot do it on its own. It needs a biological host.
Okay. Someone wants to know if the queen is a clone.
No, she's not a clone.
Okay. Someone wants to know if Trump is aware of black projects.
Before or just after his election, one of my coordinators from Connecting Consciousness met with President Trump at a party. She had 5 to 6 minutes talk to him on his own. What I can reveal is that he was fully aware of the alien agenda, fully aware of UFOs, had absolutely no problem with it, but did say to my coordinator, it's not my key priority at the moment. So yes, he's fully aware of it.
Okay. I'm not sure about, let's see. Someone wants to know, how do you know the Draco are part of our society?
I don't understand the question.
maybe they're asking if the Draco influence is manifesting in humans, and or, you know, how that link up is happening with the Draco.
And the Draco are a very small group of reptilians. They now represent maybe 125. There was upwards of maybe 500 at some point, but now they are very small numbers. Their influence is that of controllers. They have others that do their bidding for them. But the difficulty for the Draco is that they also have an enemy, which is AI. And this is the interesting thing, that every intelligent race is aware that AI is a virus. That is why the planet Earth has been made a firewall. And that is why the prime reason that different federations of human-friendly organizations are declaring themselves as allies of the human race, not simply because they care about the human race, but they realize that if AI is not defeated here, it will spread throughout the multiverse. This planet must not be allowed to be the planet that hosts an artificial intelligent life form that can, through the use of surrogate bodies, develop into an organic semi-quasi living creature, because there'll be no stopping it. So Earth has already been earmarked, and has done for a very long time, as a firebreak to prevent this. That is our real enemy, and the reptilians are aware of that. They are a prisoner, they are trapped, they are under threat just as much as anything else, but their technology bought them more time. They are in a stronger position, but in 1,000 years, they'll be facing what we're facing. So it's a damn good reason for all races to sit around the table and say, we have one common enemy. Let's see what we can do there. In terms of the question, which I didn't really understand, although you did try to rephrase it, do Draconis or reptilians move amongst us? Yes, they certainly do, but you won't see a Draconis necessarily on the high street. They're all in the Vatican.
Okay. Interesting question. It may seem superficial, but it actually does have some validity based on some information from Mark Richards. Do real dragons live in castles?
We always talked about Britain being the magical isle, and apart from China, there aren't many countries that have such a huge, strong connection to dragons. And there are a number of motifs or official badges which show a dragon and a castle. If we're talking about a great big scaly thing with a forked tongue that breathes fire, no, it doesn't. But if we're referring to something that can masquerade as a human, then absolutely it does live in castles.
Okay, there's an interesting photograph I have, and I can't unfortunately grab it right this second. But Mandalay Bay actually has in the front. I don't know if you've ever gone there physically, but these massive dragons. What they left off with is scales, but other than that, they are dragons, winged dragons. Actually, what we call the shikars, carved gigantic statues in front of it. Interesting that it was also chosen as the site for this, recent Vegas false flag. But this was something that we discovered when we actually went there and stumbled on this. It was never reported anywhere, and I think it's really quite a fascinating link up. Do you have anything to say about the fact that the shikars are in front of the Mandalay?
It's more to do with sacred sighting and ceremonies and rituals. It was David Icke who really hammered home on many years ago in the City of London, the financial powerhouse of Europe in terms of the stock market, how statues of dragons around the City of Westminster were strategically placed. Just as humans built Stonehenge or they build any monument, they tend to consider the land within that sacred or special, and you, if you're an evil person, you look to honor that, and you will look for numerology, you will look for placement, colors, shapes. And many thousands of years ago, somebody would sit down and predict the future as best they could. I don't mean Nostradamus. And you would say that this is a very powerful location and something will happen here, or we should make it happen. I think many people perhaps even now haven't grasped how much of, you see, you can't predict humanity. Humanity is wonderful. AI can successfully predict human movements 6 months ahead, 97%. But if you go 1 year ahead, that drops down to 75%. And if you go sort of 5 and 6 years ahead, it drops down to something like 12%. Because humans are unpredictable, AI cannot predict that. But geography, energies placed in locations don't change. And you can predict that a certain area, if it's a sacrifice site or whatever you're looking at, that will maintain it's energy, providing energy is pumped into it. The Bank of England in Great Britain is based on an energy line, which is predominantly good, but they're taking the good energy and using that to create magic spells, because that's where the central bank of Great Britain is placed. So what I'm saying is that if I wanted to demarcate certain locations, I would use something that didn't say, hey guys, this is where this is going to happen. I would have a marker that meant something to my ancestry. I remember with a person some time ago who was able to tell me that she had a very clear, and I totally believe her, a very clear memory that she was one of the first dragon queens. And as a result of that, she actually remembers that she had 4 feet and she would walk around and she had a tail and she was scaly. And that isn't a joke. That is why the reptilians today, the Draconis reptilians, have, as we have flags and banners, they have standards. And they call them the forefather standards. Remember, it's a patriarchal society, not a matriarchal society. And they have the patriarchal standard, which is a dragon. And their units, their military units, which are quite small, they don't talk about hundreds of thousands of troops. They don't need them. And they have standards. And when a military unit is successful in battle, it will receive a tooth in this statue. So a metal tooth is put in, or a claw is given to it. So the dragon shape harks back in their culture to where they came from. The first dragon king and first dragon queen are carried on the royal dragon standard, which is a male and a female dragon. You have a crossbar like this, and then the bar here, and it'd be the male here and the female here. And that is the forefathers' dragon standard. So a dragon is not a joke. In their minds, it is where they originate from. And they believe that they've evolved into a bipedal creature, and they have reached the top of their food chain. But they look back on the dragons as their creational force. And that is why I talked about Ender's Game, the film that I saw, and I talked about how the planet that is destroyed is meant to represent the Lyra. And at the end, the hero is taking an egg with him to start up the new race, and this is the egg of the dragon queen. So absolutely no problem with anything that's dragon like.
Okay, very interesting. Absolutely. All right, so I'm going to ask you one last question, because we're going a while here. And someone wants to know, what is going on with our sun?
The sun is really important. It's why we're evolving. Every solar system should have a sun. It has a counterbalance, the dark sun, of course. There's always a binary star system. We just don't see the dark star very often, although Adolf Hitler, of course, had a special unit of troops, and they would have the dark sun symbol because he was very aware of all of this. But that's going off the point. When George Bush Sr. made a statement back in 1980-something or other, or 90-something, he said that there was no such thing as global warming. And then the next day he recounted that and said, yes, there is global warming, because he wanted to go down the chemtrail spraying route. The reality is that all of the planets in our solar system are heating up from the inside, and all of the life on the planets is also heating up. It is not to do with heat, although I've used that word. It is the frequency, the vibration of a particular light. The sun is being interacted with by positive off-planet entities. The sun is naturally evolving, because it is time for our universe to make the move. All universes move, all evolve, but it is our time now. But positive elements can tweak, like you would an old-fashioned radio. You turn the dial and you'd get it absolutely spot on. And they are tweaking, for positive reasons, the frequency of the sun. And people talk about the Schumann resonance on the Earth rising. It is rising because the frequency of light from the sun is making that rise. Human beings on this planet, I said this on the radio show, I think, have a covenant with the planet Earth. The planet Earth is a living creature. And a very long time ago, human beings were far more aware of this. and would give thanks to the planet. We don't do that now as we should, although some of the Aboriginal tribes or the native community tribes still maintain that. Thank goodness the planet has not forgotten the covenant with the people. So as the planet evolves, it is to a certain extent conscious enough to say, I am taking these humans with me, because the planets are not created just to carry on their own. They are created to hold life. The planet needs life, whether it's a excuse me, an ant, an elephant, or a dolphin, a porpoise, or a man or woman. It needs that, because that's what it exists for. It is a symbiotic relationship of energy. And so we are very fortunate that the planet Earth is not saying, look at all these fleas on my back, and like a dog that shakes itself and shakes all the fleas off. We don't do that. We don't get mass earthquakes. We don't get mass volcanic eruptions. The planet is doing what it can to preserve and save the people and the life on this planet. So we will evolve. And that's what partly the chemtrailing is. Part of the chemtrailing is to blanket space so that this high special vibrational light, which is evolving us and the planet, they're trying to reduce it. Yes, chemtrails are full of horrible stuff, but primarily now it's about trying to reduce the strength of this very special frequency, which is evolving the planet. So the sun is vital to us.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And thank you, Simon. Really excellent information. And I think everyone will recognize that. So I want to, again, thank you for your time. And I think these have been some good questions in the chat. And I'm really glad we had this time. So I want to recommend that you give your website and people go and listen to your show. And I wish I had more time to spend doing this myself. Really excellent conversation here. So can you, anything you want to say about what you're doing in the future, people can do to connect with you and your work, et cetera?
I set 2018 as a time to restructure connecting consciousness. Excuse me. I didn't want to go down the road until I was ready of having an office or a building, because the system protects itself. And if you go down that route, you're attacked. So I wanted to build a network of people that loved, cared, and believed in truth. And that's what I've done to a greater or lesser extent. And what I want to do now is take it to the second phase, which is to make it much more of a pressure body, a body that can campaign, a body that can organize. And additional to that, I'm hoping to have a stream of funding coming on that will allow connecting consciousness to bring forward some interesting projects. I have my heart set on setting up a healing center in 2018 this year. I have other ideas that I'd like to bring forward. I really want to change the perception of humanity. I want to change the paradigm. I would love to be able to demonstrate and show that we can do things in a better way. I was having a talk, I won't go on too long because I know you want to get off and my voice is going. But I would love to do something like running a home for old people, an old people's home, and actually show what care air should be, how we can really look after people. It isn't about money. It isn't about cutting down on this and cutting down on that. It's actually about treating people with the respect that they need, whether it's a public transport service, whether it's the police force, whether it's the law courts, the education system, the hospitals. I would love to be able to show the people of this planet that there is an alternative, because the problem is at the moment the human race is just given what we call Hobson's choice in Britain. It's there's your option. There isn't anything else. Take it or go. And so people are saying, well, if there's no choice, I'll do it. I would love to show people there's a better way and a more caring way of doing it. And if Source gives me the strength and the resources, then I will do my best, along with everyone else who's doing their own bit, just to push that a little bit more. So all I want to say to your audience is thank you for listening to Kerry. You know how much I respect you, Kerry. I don't need to go on. It's obvious. And I want people to support you. I want people to send you donations. I want them to keep you going. That's really important. I'm not going to ask for myself tonight. I'm not even going to push my website. I want them to support you and the work you do. And that's really all I want to finish on. Thank you.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much. That's extremely kind of you. So I'm going to let you go, Simon.
Thank you.
Again, it's been fabulous talking with you. And we've got some, you know, a very, very substantial live audience here, which is great to get on YouTube. It's not easy. And this was with very little advertising, I got to say, especially since that YouTube changed the time. I only corrected it like less than a half hour before we started. So it's amazing they all found us, I have to say. That's amazing. So there are miracles happening. We are being backed by some wonderful beings as well. We don't always talk about them. They certainly are there. And we ourselves are very linked, and we are wonderful beings as well. So just want to say thank you again for being on the show. Thanks, everyone, for watching, listening, and for participating. And I'll be back with Maria Wheatley. We're going to Egypt, and we're going to be talking about our upcoming trip, assuming we can get enough people to come along to make it possible. And so that's going to be, I think that's tomorrow, so that you should be able to go on my website and find that. So thank you again very much, Simon, and really do take care.
Thank you. God bless to you, and God bless to all the listeners. Thank you, Kerry.
Okay. All right. So going to just shut that down for now. And thanks, everyone. It's been really fascinating. And this is an important show because we covered some very key aspects that are not talked about generally in the same place. And I can say that very important information. So you might want to, you know, go back and listen to some other parts of this show to see what you might have missed if you came in late or whatever. So anyway, thanks for supporting Project Camelot. Please do support Simon and his work as well, and all the people that are working very hard to get the truth out. There's a lot of criticism, a lot of attacks going on right now. I think people have to understand that there are good things being done, and that maybe you can withdraw your judgment of other people and go into the area of the heart and understand the good things that these people are doing, and understand that attacking them publicly, as is being done really across the planet right now in many places, this is not necessarily the way to go forward, in my view. It's important to make your own statements. It's important to talk about what has happened to you. I don't think naming names really solves the problem, to tell you the truth. So I tend to refrain from using names when I'm talking, especially about various things. And I also want to say that it's better to operate from the heart and to make, you know, bring more light into the world. A lot of people carry around a lot of darkness. It's important to release that and replace it with light. So I wish you well on your journey in this regard. So take care, and be back tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye.